Ryan, thank you very much. It's Bill Leff along with my friend Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. He's filling in for Wendy Snyder, and we are now joined by Dane Neal, of course, from just Dane. Dane, all you need is the one name. You're like Cher. You're like Madonna.
I was until the emergence of often maligned comic Dane Cook. And then I got like that. But I don't know, because, you know, growing up it was Dane, you know, like Great Dane, which sounds good and complimentary, but then you think it's a dog. And
yeah, it's not kind of always a shot. No, I wouldn't take that shot at you. Everything Dane says and everything he thinks is sponsored by Resurrection University. Thank you, Resurrection University. We have a couple of things all at one time today. First of all, it's National Fried Chicken Day. Second of all, Taste of Chicago is about to start. Which do we begin with?
Well, we can just begin quickly because with National Fried Chicken Day, only because it is the kind of day that you can customize to your own tastes and satisfactions.
Sure.
We all...
So many traditions, though. You can't just make up your own. It's not a DIY event.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, Eric, when it comes to chicken.
Everybody wins with fried chicken.
You know, is it extra crispy? Is it original recipe? Is there a wrong way to go with it? I don't think so. But it is one of those universal, unfortunately for the chicken, or at least millions of them.
Right.
It's one of those kind of universally beloved foods, and fried chicken is kind of the favorite way to have it.
It enrages me when people say happy holiday instead of happy fried chicken.
Right. That's true.
Well, you won't hear that at the, I don't know the exact street where it's kicking off, but I'm sure the fried chicken parade, there will be street closures. And all the famous chickens, you know, the iconic chickens through history will be there, like the San Diego chicken.
Ted Gianulis.
Is that his real name?
That's his real name, yeah. Sorry for knowing that, but I do.
He'll be there, maybe the Cluck the Chicken.
Yeah, Cluck the Chicken will be there. Oh, good. Well, that'll be fun.
There'll be some Colonel impersonators.
Do you celebrate privately with your family, or do you celebrate big out in the public?
We do two different celebrations. We do one private, just the family one, you know, with some special and slightly secretive chicken recipes. And then, you know, we just get out there with the people, because it's fun for everyone just to high-five in the name of chicken.
Now, are you one of those families that celebrates on National Fried Chicken Day Eve?
Oh, when do you open your guests?
Because we do that. We celebrate on the Eve.
Last night.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
It's an excellent point, Eric. And because we do have like family in different places.
That's the thing, is you spend all day in the car visiting your in-laws or your parents. Right. That's where it gets tough.
And then there's always the bad feelings.
Sure.
Who gets the... Yeah.
You try to accommodate everybody.
You can't.
You know, because impossible. You're all having chicken. And then you get those questions when you show up to the next place. So are you full of chicken?
Right.
That's why you focus on the sides.
That's all you can do. So true. So who is doing this up big today? Where can people go to celebrate National Fried Chicken Day?
Your front yard.
That's the place.
It was one of the places. Of course, right. I would say look online, Google, you know, National Fried Chicken Day parades. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably one. I'm sure there's a huge one here in the city, but then probably in a number of different communities. I think Elmhurst has a really big one.
Yeah.
The White Fence Farm people usually just go crazy with that kind of thing.
And at the...
there's no mail delivery today. Sorry.
No. Parking holiday. Well, you don't have to pay the meters.
Because, Eric, it is one thing. I think it is a cruel and unusual punishment to exclude our mail carriers from this amazing and important holiday, right?
Because
I'm now being told you do have to feed the meters, but it's with chicken livers instead of
just
quarters.
Just the livers?
Yeah, just the livers.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Because, you know, when you think fried chicken, you think of all the traditional parts that you fry. You know, you've got your thighs,
mm-hmm.
you've got your breasts,
mm-hmm.
you've got your Thanksgiving jokes. Mm-hmm. Then there's all these other parts. You know, the chicken is more than just those. It doesn't define them. But, you know, they just haven't got the publicity that the others have. I think the gizzard... You know, society or the...
Do you enjoy those?
The giblet lobby should really step up a little bit.
Yep, so true. The drumstick seems to be the perfect, to me anyway. I mean, I guess you can make an argument for the other pieces, but the drumstick just seems to fit in your hand so beautifully.
Well, it's as though, you know, the
nature,
you know, higher power
and
nature, right, had designed it for the purpose of mobility, which I think makes food fun and good.
Not as tasty or as nourishing, I don't think. I think the breast has the better meat.
There's more anyway.
And better.
Is it better also,
Well, it's a give-take world, Bill. So you benefit from the mobility, you know, that natural nature's handle.
Yes.
Right, but you give up a little bit on the nutrient side. But I got to tell you, you know, as people love chicken all over the place, I don't know if for your kids, if they're more nugget people or chicken finger people, or if they like the chicken on the bone kind of thing. But over the years, I've gotten kind of... used to love it all, still do, but I've kind of gravitated more towards the kind of the chicken finger crowd, you know, with less of the visibly and identifiable anatomical part situation.
Yeah.
You know, and for the kids too, they get kind of weirded out. You know, when they can like make their own chicken out of the pieces in the bucket.
When I was a kid, I mean, now your standards for the fast food chickens are KFC and Church's and Brown's. But when I was a kid,
and Popeyes too.
And Popeyes, yeah. I don't want to leave Popeyes out. The one that we had by us was Chicken Unlimited. Do you remember Chicken Unlimited at all?
I don't.
Yes.
You remember Chicken
Unlimited.
Right, so, first of all, the name was incorrect because at some point they ran out of chicken and they closed.
Yes.
In addition to the chicken, they had French fries that were so big. They weren't like the fries you would get in a bag today where you get 60 or 70 in a container. These were giant, like, planks, like 2x4 planks of French fries.
Steak fries.
They were bigger than steak fries.
Well, they tried to do a spin-off restaurant just from that called Fries Unmanageable. But again, like Chicken Unlimited, right, didn't take off.
I remember my dad would go and get some, and then he couldn't bring it in the house by himself. Our next-door neighbor had to help my dad bring one in. They were that big.
They're on the.
I miss Chicken Unlimited so much. Well, happy National Fried Chicken Day to everybody.
I'm so glad to be part of this special holiday program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
I think we're going commercial free.
We're going to try to go commercial free, and then we're going to play old clips of other previous National Chicken Days later on.
I'm pretty sure Ryan's going to break in with a press conference.
Yes.
From the Secretary of Chicken.
Does the President pardon a chicken?
I wonder.
Well, and Bill, as a guy who understands and appreciates comedy, especially when it's built into the advertising side, when you see one of those iconic brands like KFC and what they did to take, before he was just kind of a cartoon character, a drawing. Originally, he was a real, actual human, but the Colonel Sanders himself.
Right. Yeah.
Then he became kind of a drawing caricature. And then now they've really fully embraced the Colonel of it all and brought in some top, you know, comedy experts to play him.
Daryl Hammond for a little bit, Norm Macdonald for a little bit, now Jim Gaffigan. So when we were all kids, if everybody will remember, there was an actual Colonel Sanders. Harlan Sanders was a real guy, and then he died, and they kind of took him out of the advertising for a while, and then they had a dilemma. You know, we want to bring the guy in who started, but he's dead, so what do we do? He was in cartoon form for quite a while.
That's right.
Because then we were relegated to going, well, he's dead, so it's weird having a dead spokesperson, but he's a cartoon, so that's adorable. So
Jim Gaffigan, okay. Like finger licking.
No, it's very funny, isn't it?
Well, now if you've seen the latest ones, they've got the extra crispy, and they have, and I'm almost positive the name escapes me, but it is that actor, a little bit older, who's known for one of his greatest achievements is that perfect tan. And
is it George Hamilton?
It's George. I believe it's George Hamilton.
And is he Colonel Sanders now?
I think he's laying on kind of a lawn beach chair on a beach, extolling the virtues of the extra crispy chicken.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure it's him.
Oh,
it's brilliant of them to be using all these different actors.
I know.
To do this so that they're not stuck. So who was it? The Affleck duck.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah, when they parted ways, and suddenly there's this big issue. Like, well, we're going to get to do the duck. It was just like a voice. Right.
Right. They got somebody to sound like Gilbert Gottfried.
But you can just they plug in even new actor in saying it's part of the bit.
But Daryl Hammond says that they didn't tell him was temporary. The other actors knew you're only going to be in the job for 6 or 7 months, and then we'll get another guy. But Daryl Hammond was furious, saying, nobody told me this. I thought I had something going, and now I'm out of a job.
Well, now that there are 3-4 colonels in,
right, now
we all can
know.
Enjoy it. We're looking, hey, who's going to be the
who's
next colonel?
Next?
But in the beginning, yeah, it seemed like, what did Daryl Hammond do wrong? Was there some kind of scandal?
All of these faces show up on my National Chicken Day advent calendar.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. So
that's excellent.
Open a little door.
That's great. Really great. Something to look forward to every day.
And just like any of the actors, even, you know, Lieutenant Uhura or, you know, any of those kind of even peripheral characters in the Star Trek world, those conventions go on and on.
Sure.
Now, for the National Chicken Conventions. These guys, they've got
job for life.
Paying gig.
They're set for life. All right. More with Dane Neal from AccessAppetite.com in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and it's Eric Zorn on WGN. It's Bill Leff along with Eric Zorn, who is filling in for Wendy, who will be back on Monday. Dane Neal is also here from AccessAppetite.com. Dane is here to give us a preview of this year's Taste of Chicago. What is going to make this the biggest and the best taste of all time, Dane?
Also, Bill, you can enjoy or at least experience some of the stuff that I do at the Dane Neal Show on WGN Plus here and then on a pretty regular basis on the station itself. Excited to do it. Excited, too, because the Taste of Chicago is back. And when there was a time when there wasn't a festival almost every day in almost every neighborhood, now we've got this embarrassment of culinary riches. But Taste of Chicago is the original. It is one of the originals as far as big city food-related events like it. And now I don't want to say it keeps growing, right? It grew, and then it expanded, and then it contracted.
And then it contracted a little bit.
To be more streamlined, more fit.
Right, 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 right. The first Taste of Chicago was in 1980, is that right?
That's my memory. My memory is the first Taste of Chicago was right out here on Michigan Avenue in the summer of 1980.
Now, why do I want to say it was on Navy Pier? I'm wrong, but that was
Chicago Fest. Yeah.
The first Taste of Chicago was right outside our
window. Was Taste of Chicago ever on Navy Pier? I'm not sure.
I thought it was, but maybe not.
I think it moved from here to the park.
Yeah.
But it was and it wasn't that huge. It was one day, and just out here on Michigan Avenue,
and that was it. Same system with the tickets, or was it different? Do you remember?
Boy, I don't remember that, but I do remember going and thinking that it was kind of cool, and then going when it was over in the park, and then I haven't been for many years now. So,
Dane, what are we going to have this year?
What am I missing this year?
Well, you're going to be missing over the last... Well, you won't, because you're going to go. You're going to be inspired by this
You'll be very inspired to head out there and
revisit some of those memories. But over the last few years, they've been bringing in some of these pop-up restaurants. We remember, as people who've been to Taste of Chicago over the years, over the last 20 or so years, is there's some tried and true, some favorites, things you know and love about the festivals and about Taste of Chicago. You know, your Robinson Ribs, your Connie's Pizza, maybe a big turkey leg, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Rainbow Cone and some of those. And
Eli's Cheesecake.
Eli's Cheesecake will be front and center. And so they'll be there as well, but then they started bringing in, and David Manilow, our good friend over there, Check Please, had started helping to curate some of these pop-up restaurants, you know, and then also bring in some of the trucks as well. And what that does is instead of the... Here's the thing. From the restaurant side, Taste of Chicago was a wonderful thing to participate in.
Yeah.
But it's also very difficult for the restaurant, because if you're a smaller place, you've got to take your staff, be on site from, you know, the 6th to the 10th, many, many days.
Yeah.
Long, long hours, you know, and it's tough to be able to do that. So they were trying to think of ways that they could get, you know, help restaurants get some of that exposure, help Taste of Chicago be more of an inclusive kind of Taste of Chicago as opposed to these kind of select vendors we're used to.
Yeah.
So they're doing the pop-up. So they're there for maybe one day. They set up shop, have maybe a few different selections that kind of identify what it is that they do from their restaurant. And you've got a really good, I think, diverse array of things. Everything from kind of the barbecue thing, Pork and Mindy. So our good friend Jeff Morrow has got his new place, Pork and Mindy. So he'll be doing stuff there. They've got Pastoral, so that elevated wine and cheese. Like, they'll have their stuff over there from their restaurant. Burger Belly with burgers. Damera Ethiopian, which is an Ethiopian, which you don't know. I mean, but I think that really kind of tells the story of Chicago's food scene more than just, you know, Rainbow Cone and a turkey leg.
Right.
Arami, which is a really, really cool, it's over on Chicago Avenue, cool sushi restaurant that has really nice takes on a lot of those selections. We'll be doing some octopus and some things. So instead of the normal festival food that you kind of expect, you know, elephant ears and cotton candy, you're getting kind of a little taste of some of the cool places of Chicago.
And that's not a bad thing. That's good. It opens up your world a little bit for different foods.
I thought you were going to say sinuses.
And your sinuses. It also opens up your sinuses. Is there research as to people who go, do they tend to just go for one day, or are there a pretty good group of people who go for more than one day?
That's an excellent point, Bill. They're trying to make it something where each day is unique.
Yeah.
And they've always had the music acts, you know, and they don't have the same act playing every day.
Right.
So they're hoping you'll show up for one or the other. But yeah, that's part of it, is to have different things, different food selections, so you can, not necessarily that you would say, oh, these guys are going to be there, I've got to show up that day. Maybe there's a little bit of that, but a certain amount of, if I go there, there'll be new and different stuff to try. Because it's tough to get down there and do all that walking, especially in the heat, and enjoy it with the crowd. So they want to give you as many reasons to do it as possible. And on the music side, you know, you've got some great bands. You've got the Roots. You've got Billy Idol is going to be the Isley Brothers, featuring Ronald and Ernie. In case you were thinking it was an Isley-free Isley Brothers.
No, they're in it. They're in it. And Eric is probably too shy to tell you this, but Eric is the one who taught Billy Idol how to sneer years ago.
Well, he has the sneering camp.
Right. the fancy camp.
Well, these are private lessons, though.
Right, can't comment, non-disclosure. The other thing, too, and I'm glad that I thought of it, Is they've got something else, another reason for people to get in there. On the food media, it has grown so much, you know, since I started doing it. Now it's, there's so many people out there providing great content for it. So they've got the Food for Thought podcast pavilion. And so there you'll have, they've got a place where you can sit down in a tent and have some of these podcasts that are food centric kind of going on live, you know, so you'll have some of the guests from the fest there. You'll have some of your, you know, known notable food personalities participating that either host them or will be guests on them. It's pretty cool. So I'll be actually be helping out with the Yummy Nation Network one. That's going to be at 1 o'clock. Coming up before that is James Van Osdell.
Oh, yeah.
You're familiar with him. Local, you know, radio guys. Yeah. Done some stuff here, too. But he's got a very fun podcast called the Car Con Carney, which is... you know, I think it's right. It's an homage to the Jerry Seinfeld one, the Comedians in Cars. I don't know how much driving he'll do on stage, you know, today at the Taste, but the idea is enjoying barbecue with a barbecue personality in a car. And I guess now some napkins are provided. And,
oh, good.
And that's of course, fun. You know,
no place I'd rather eat barbecue than in a car. Yeah. Like just the right food.
James can pull it off. He's amazing. Several texts, by the way, telling me that I'm wrong. The Taste of Chicago, several texts, all saying that Taste of Chicago was never on Navy Pier.
Maybe it should have been.
Chicago Fest was there. Taste of Chicago was not there. Okay, right? Is that right, it? Yeah. And those two were never at the same time, right? They wouldn't do those at the same time.
I think they were rival events at one time, kind of a Shark and Jets thing.
Oh.
And then one just, you know, survival of the fittest. Just survived and went on.
There's also a lot of people saying that it is, in fact, George Hamilton, who's in those Kentucky Fried Chicken.
But good for him, right? I mean, didn't he do a vampire movie once?
Yeah.
Okay. But other than that, he's just known for being tan.
Now, Dane, is this podcast thing happening every day at the fest or just?
It's going to be happening for the next 3 days there, at least the next 3 days. Today, it starts at 1 and goes for a few hours. And for those people that are fans of kind of the food-related podcasts we've had, you know, like Chewing the Fat, award-winning, they do a great job. They'll be there. Either tomorrow or the next day. Rick Bayless and Steve Dolinsky will be doing their the feed podcast from there. So it should be pretty fun.
And interestingly enough, this coincides with the podcast movement convention. There are 1,500 people in town for the podcast movement. It's the third annual.
It's a movement?
It's the name of the conference is Podcast Movement. And it's got all these stars of the podcasting world have shown up in town, including Dan Pashman, who does The Sporkful. I don't know if he's part of this podcast lineup. But
they would be lucky to have him. But yeah, it is really, it's gotten to be one of those things where when you can have things on demand, it's just like our DVRs at home. People just love it. And when you can have specific content that you're excited about,
sure,
then people enjoy. Podcasts are big.
And will we get those figures? Every year, this is a big news story. When Taste of Chicago is over, they tell us how many pounds of garbage we were able to produce.
Oh, I thought and you were going to say how many slices of pizza.
Well, they tell us that. They always build up. How many slices of pizza? How many giant turkey legs? But then they always end with how many pounds of garbage. And that fits under that category of news that I have no idea what to do with. Like, once I know that, I just nod and go,
how many tons of sewage was produced?
right.
How many porta-potties were produced?
Yeah. Please tell us more. I want to know more. Dane, thank you. This should be great. Have a happy and a safe National Fried Chicken Day. Promise me.
Stay crispy.
Stay crispy, my friends.
Don't overdo it.
That's all you can ask. Thank you, Dane. That's Dane Neal from AccessAppetite.com. We'll take a quick break and then some news. It's Bill F. along with Eric Zorn from the Chicago Tribune on WGN.